Welcome to Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals from the comfort of their own homes write an entire screenplay week by week, page by page, one scene at a time. My name is Freddie Wong, and I'm nice and full, man. This is a Story Break Nights episode, everybody, and I had a real good dinner, and you know, I've just been eating really well. I'm just throwing that out there.
What'd you have, Freddie? What'd you eat?
So a lot of these restaurants in around LA, they're doing this thing now where they're doing like take-home versions of like meals, of like dinners, and what's nice is it, for the first time, lets me get in on some of these like super hard-to-get restaurants, but you know, like, you get a good taste of their food and it doesn't cost as much. It's kind of a best of both worlds scenario for me, honestly.
Molto bene. I am Will Campos. I don't know if I said, do we do that on this podcast?
We recorded
our other podcast. I was like, I got to come up with my dad fact for Story Break. I'm like, no, I don't.
Nope. You just say your name.
I'm Will. What's up, everyone? It's Will. It's Story Break Nights. It's a loose Story Break Nights energy. Matt has said he's very sleepy. I'm getting that out of the way just before you guys have to listen to Matt's intro. Just know that. Go easy on him.
My name's Matt. Good morning, everybody. I don't know what you guys are talking about. We put our beautiful baby girl to bed, and then this guy got a nice little nap, also a little late night nap. So
whoa,
he just woke up.
It's a simultaneous, it's Story Break Nights meets Story Break Morning Edition episode, because Matt is on AM time because he just woke up. Come on, guys. This isn't Mabim Bam. We don't just riff all day. We got a story to break. All right.
One of the flags on the play, as I said at the end of last episode, was Jin would definitely bring up the fact that he's dead. And he's been shot.
Whiskey
would bring up that he's been shot. So it feels like the first obstacle they need to get around is, how do they get around the fact that one of them's been shot in the chest?
Yeah, to kind of bring it back around. So yes, basically they're planning that this is their eternal montage. This is eternal montage of the spotless heist, where they're going to train for 10,000 years to get a 4-second plan to perfectly execute so that they can all escape this with their lives. So yes, you're right. I fudged it a little bit, like when Sai Shan shows them what's going on. It's like one of those Oprah Din sequences where, like, you know, he's flying backwards. So you could do like, he's been shot in the chest, right?
Yeah.
So, like, that's what we have right now.
Yeah,
we
can coming back fudge up the
that
head.
A little bit. I changed it originally from him getting shot in the head, because I was like, I want like a little bit of a gray
zone. You're not coming
back
from that one, yeah.
Unless you're going to do that Whiskey has like a, you know, a steel engraved picture of cognac in his pocket and it bounced off. But then, and then why is he unconscious? That doesn't make any sense. Maybe that it stopped his heart. And so they just have to jump his heart again. One of them has to be able to remove a bullet in 4 seconds.
Well, no, because remember, the 4 seconds is just when the action scene is going to be
Here's what it is. Whiskey's a medical student. He has to take this time to train one of them. He has to train Cognac to save his heart or whatever it is, right? Who has the steadiest hands?
To save his heart?
So it's like, who has the steadiest hands? And it's like, oh, it's Cognac. She's like, you know, she's the nerves of steel.
Yeah,
I don't want to put my hands in you.
Yeah, so you would do that. Okay, that's very good. Whiskey having to train Cognac. And then they're like, can one of them still have a gun with them? And then they practice by, they just shoot Shakespeare over and over again. And then she has to do it to Shakespeare. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Are their bodies corporeal? Like, can they?
I mean, they were corporeal in heaven, right? Like, they were running around and stuff like that.
Do they have no clip turned on, though? Have they tried occupying the same space?
Yeah, because he could just operate on Whiskey.
Do you think if you die and you go to heaven, do you think it's no clip? Like, straight up, you can just stand where someone else is standing.
It's definitely funniest if every morning, even though there's probably not days here, every time they wake up, it's like Whiskey's like, all right, you guys are gonna practice shooting, all right, me and you, Cognac, and then he just takes his shirt off and like lays down. She's like, oh man, not again. She cuts his chest open. It's like practicing around his heart. He's like, so you'll notice I have like a slightly larger left aorta, so like you want to make sure that when you get in through the second rib that you go like way over here or whatever. She's like, oh, I know your body so well, it's so weird how well I know your body at this point. It's been 10,000 years of being inside your chest.
She's got to do it while like they have like a live gunfire simulation going on around her.
Oh yeah, you essentially do that scene from, I don't know if you've ever seen Glory. There's a scene in Glory when they're shooting, and then Cary Elwes is just like, oh yeah, do it again. And then as he's aiming, he's like blowing the pistol right next to the guy's head.
Mm-hmm.
So you do that as like Cognac should be like, you know, why do I have to keep practicing this? I already know what it is. And Whiskey's like, oh, yeah? You think you can repair my heart? Try it again. And then he's, like, shooting the gun next to your head. And she's, like, all nervous. He's like, yeah. You think, like, yeah, essentially, like, there's going to be gunfire all around you when you're doing this.
You can't mess this up. You only have one shot. Do not miss your chance. Can we do a thing? I just thought of another gag where it's, like, the entire montage ends and they're all ready to go. I'm like, all right, ready? Nods. All right, let's do this. And then Whiskey's like, hold on. Why don't we just do another 1,000 years just to make sure? Like, yeah, good call. And then they do another quick version montage, which is like, well, you have all the time in the world. You might as well do, like, just to be totally sure. Like, we're all like.
And then they're like, you know what, guys? We overtrained. Let's spend 1,000 years just not thinking about it.
Yeah, they say you shouldn't crunch the night before.
All right, I'm bored. Let's go.
We had that thought last episode that you could do that, like, after 10,000 years of whiskey, like, remembers that he misremembered some things, like, oh, that's right, no, they all had machine guns. And they're like, oh my god, they're just like, they start like just a huge thing that changes,
because if you're totally loose with time, who cares anymore?
Yep.
All right,
okay, that's fun. I love Cognac and him bonding over this for 10,000 years. She's opening up his body. Imagery wise, it's definitely most fun if you can just cut open his body and like route around in there and do surgery. And then, you know, it just slowly.
It feels like it would need like every day needs to start with him getting shot in the chest. And then she has to like, you know what I mean? But yes. I'm like, where are they getting this gun?
Well, his body, I feel like, is like, you know, memory foam. It just kind of like comes back.
Well, there's also, don't forget, there's other people.
Oh, yeah.
That
yeah. Like
by,
somebody shows
right?
up with a gun. He's like, hey. I'm gonna rob.
They could spend like, you know, a couple thousand years learning metallurgy to create their own guns to practice with.
That's true. Oh yeah, you do that thing where they like, there's like a group of criminals like, hey, we're gonna rob Evan, and they look and they just beat them up and take their guns.
And they just kick them into the stream. They're like, get reincarnated, idiots.
This is our score, too late. They kick them out.
By the way, the other criminal group has like a better plan. Just
oh
like,
yeah!
Shit, why didn't we think of
They're
it
like,
that way?
We're just gonna steal it from Whoopsie. All the gold's up there. Why did you jump off of the big barge of gold? All the gold's there.
They're gonna hold Whoopsie hostage because Whoopsie is actually the. I guess there's not one god. It's like the child of an important god.
This is God's son, Whoopsie the whale.
It's not. It's like the. It's like
is it
the,
that far fetched? You guys
like
laugh.
The,
but
it's like the
you
Tiffany
know.
Trump of God's children. It's like not. It's like not God's favorite son.
Oh man!
You know, not his favorite son. That's why he's just lifting gold.
No.
But he still doesn't want him to die. I don't know what we do right now. Let's do it piece by piece.
All right, yes.
Cognac and Whiskey, her having to figure out how to learn to do open heart surgery immediately. He estimates that he is dead. Like, that's why he's here, right? He estimates that he's dead. He knows he's dead. He estimates she has about 10 seconds to start his heart.
30 seconds before his heart will be completely.
Well, I would do like, he needs to have his heart beating again in like 10 seconds. And then she's going to have to remove the bullet within like 30 seconds or something like that. You know, it's like,
oh yeah. Like based on where it hit, I'm going to be in cardiac arrest while I am. Cause I'm here. So you need to get me out of AFib and you got it. Yeah. Or whatever.
Like, yeah. If my heart doesn't start in 10 seconds,
and
I'm going to have permanent
like,
brain damage.
Like, why don't I just hit you with the paddle? He's like, that doesn't work. That's not how it works.
But we did that in the beginning with the car. He's like, yeah, I know. That was kind of loose. It's not exactly.
That was before. This is a tense medical drama. That's accurate in every way.
That was when it was Jin's life. But with my life, let's just be a little bit more scientific about it. So, yeah, she's got some specific plan. And we'll find out how they have guns to practice on it. But yes, every part of the sequence, they shoot him in the chest and then he falls over. It's funny because it doesn't hurt him or anything. He just kind of like falls over, goes, oh, no, falls over. But the bullet is right where it is.
Oh, you know what you could do? All right. Not that this is me. Maybe don't need. I'm trying to think.
Shakespeare could have the gun also.
Shakespeare's like, I got
just
guns.
Just got a gat. He's like, my sword.
What do you think I do? I collect guns from people that jump off the thing.
These things are awesome.
I don't know if Freddie was on Facebook, but you saw that somebody
I cannot believe we didn't think of this.
It should have been Ashton Kutcher.
Like, why the fuck is it Shakespeare, not Ashton Kutcher?
You're right. Why isn't it Ashton Kutcher? We're fucking idiots.
He's not dead, but the idea that you pay off the Ashton Kutcher thing is so good. Anyways, draft two, baby. Assuming.
I was saying, like, the compromise is that it's Ashton Kutcher playing Shakespeare.
Yes.
Is a way you could go with it. You could do that, like, normally, because they got all their guns off of Whoopsie on the barge, but normally how it works, any contraband that gets sent to heaven, they just dump into the fucking sky. So, like, just guns and stuff are always raining down from heaven. Like, you could do that.
Why would you ever leave purgatory? It would be nothing but sports cars and guns. Like, you could be there for so long just
drifting.
They're
allowed to have sports cars.
They're allowed to have
knives.
Sports cars. It's just weapons.
Like, knives.
It's just, like, weapons. Are constantly falling from the sky.
I like
That's
the idea
so
that they're
weird.
Walking and they're like, they kick something, huh? And he just, like, moves aside some grass and there's just, like, a machine gun. He's like, hey, look over here. There's, like, it's like finding, like, arrowheads. Like, it's like, hey, there's another gun. Or
there's an M1 Abrams tank over here. That's a, someone must have folded this one up real good.
That's not really the definition of limbo.
A lot of artillery. Picturesque shells. Landscape. Oh, and that's what
Shakespeare's
doing.
Like, oh, that's right. That's from when Hitler tried to invade heaven.
You know, they wake up the next morning and it's just littered with guns. Like, whoa, what happened there? Like, Shakespeare's like, what do you think I do all day? I clean up this place. This place is a mess.
The mythology now that Shakespeare is stuck in limbo because he's got to clean up all the weapons. He's
when
the janitor
I died
for
as punishment, Yama said I have to clean up all the guns in purgatory for the fact that I plagiarized King Lear.
I mean, I feel like, couldn't they just have guns on them already?
Well, they have whatever's in the van for sure.
Yeah.
Right?
So yeah, they have their guns. They brought guns.
Yeah, they got their weapons. Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, they wouldn't have ammo to last them for 10,000 years, Matthew.
But they could last long enough that they could probably pick the bullet out of his chest and then, like,
and
reassemble
it.
Repack it. Repack it.
Yeah, all right, sure.
It's
okay,
fine.
So
I think
that's going to be the last thing anybody's going to question is that they keep shooting. Like, where's all this ammo coming from?
During the sequence that's supposed to last 10,000 years, I know that the number of inaccuracies, really genius. You're coming at us with the inaccuracies there, huh? No. If you're going to be picking it apart at that point, you weren't in this movie to begin with.
To be fair, how often does someone walk out of the movie in the second to the last scene? You can kind of pull whatever stupid shit you want as long as the end is almost in sight.
The last thing I'm going to say is just because I really want to make sure that we tie up this whole Ashton Kutcher thing because it's very important, is that it is Ashton Kutcher plays Shakespeare, but there needs to be a piece of dialogue where they realize, like, oh, Ashton Kutcher is related to Shakespeare. Like, in the movie, it's not that Ashton Kutcher is Shakespeare. It's like, it's just we got Ashton Kutcher to play Shakespeare. Like,
his ancestor.
You look a lot like Ashton Kutcher. He's like, Ashton Kutcher. And then it's like, oh yeah, he's my great 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 grandson. He's far more talented than I ever was. He doesn't have to steal from anybody. Anyways, all right. So Ashton Kutcher plays Shakespeare.
Okay. So far we have Cognac has to learn how to do open heart surgery. And that's it. So, and then I guess we do a sequence where they melt bullets like in The Patriot.
They just have their clips. They just have their clips. And
I like them reforging
magazines.
The bullets and
okay,
over an
so
open
you do,
flame. It, and then,
okay.
Yeah, you can do they. Yeah, if you, I'm just saying, if you want to do, you could do. They have to.
How
you
good
do
is
a
fucking Patriot? There's a scene where Mel Gibson melts the tin soldiers his child was playing with into bullets to kill the man who killed his own child. It's so,
and then he misses with the bullet that he made.
Oh my God. And he loses like 5 children in that movie. That movie's act breaks is made off of what child he loses.
Just like Willy Wonka, so the act breaks in The Patriot end when a child dies.
Yes, it's so
that was
gnarly.
The original Save the Cat beat sheet structure. It was kill the kid.
Kill your children.
If you haven't killed a kid on page 17 of your script, your movie's no good.
Okay. This is a good movie. Okay.
So it's probably them all, you know, figuring out what the choreography is going to be.
Okay, so
for
staging the heist. Where do we get to that this takes 10,000 years? Because it feels like you would do, like, here, in terms of the movements of this sequence, mm-hmm, right?
Sure.
It feels like you would do, at first, they're like, okay, this isn't going to be a huge problem, right? Like, it's like, okay, there's 6 people with guns coming into the room. You know, we're going to wake up and then we're going to attack them, right? But then they work it and they work it and they work it. And they're like, there's no way to do it. And it's like, we have to go deeper.
No, that's good. They'd be like, it can't be that.
It would be stuff like, wait, the only way to do this is you need to take both of these out at the same time. That means you need to kick this plate and it needs to ricochet perfectly between these two. I mean, like, that's the level where they're like, just regular, like, kung fu gunplay isn't work. We need to be miracle level.
It starts with, like, Jin's like, oh, I'm gonna roll off the table and hit this guy. And he's like, are you sure you can do this? Like, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Let's try it. And then Tequila, like, all right, stand there, roll off and avoid my bullets. And he shoots him like three times. He's like, I don't have a machine gun. They do. Try it again. Shoots him three more times. Okay, try it again. And he's like, you can't go that fast. Like, at first they think they can do it. Yes, I like the idea that they think it's not going to be too bad. Like, all right, you take these two guys.
So then it's like obsessive training, right? And it's like, I have to like, you know, you have to master like again. So you're going to have to kick here and kick here at the same time. Like, you have to like be one with your own body, right? To be able to pull this move. And then you do the training of that. And then he's like, then you have that broken Luke Skywalker, I can't lift the X-Wing, it's too big moment, right? And that's where the transformation happens, because now it is like, you have to not only become one with your body, you have to become one with the universe. Like, you have to like let go of all doubt. You have to like be, you have to achieve a deeper level of something. So that's that. It is through this sort of like wheel of labor that they kind of like slowly achieve a kind of enlightenment.
It's like he does a thing where it's like, you still have doubt. I'll come back. If there's like some guru or some, you know,
okay,
it's like, I'll come back in 400 years.
You do a
years.
Sequence in the middle where you do, each one of them has their task, right? And they're like, we cannot be, there's like, we shall all return here in 5,000 years or something like that. Like, you can do, they all split up to go do their thing. And then like word comes to Jin, who's like meditating on the mountain. There's like, it's like, Tequila has perfected the front flip. They're like, oh my God, right? And then everyone comes back and like Tequila's like, just like this sage now. And like, he's seen something that the rest of them have. I don't know. Like, is that too goofy? I don't know. I mean, it's a goofy movie, but it's like, I like the idea. Like, one of them like sees it, right?
Yeah,
like, one
of them like achieves a degree
achieves
of enlightenment,
the degree of flow that is necessary to do his part of it. And then he becomes kind of like the prophet. Maybe it's Brandy. It'd actually be super funny if it was Brandy, because she's like not the one you'd expect. And then she becomes like the sort of like Yoda figure for the other ones or something.
And she literally is like, I don't know about this life of violence and war now. They're like, no, Brandy, actually,
I like the idea of all three, because then the way you split that out, by the way, the fun of that is like, they all, like, I feel like one person should literally be like, they're gonna have to put their arm up and they're gonna get shot like four times, and they're like, you know, it's like Brandy and she's like, oh, I don't like pain or whatever. They're like, you're gonna have to harness pain, you have to meditate on pain, like you have to understand how to deal with that. And she goes out and meditates, and then like Tequila's got something to meditate on, Jin's got something, and they're like, all right, so we'll be back in 5,000 years, and they leave, and it's just cognac and whiskey are left alone. They're like, oh, so I guess it's just us two. So that's the classic, like, they leave them. I also think all three of them, you should be cutting to them like they're on different mountaintops doing whatever, and then one person does a flip and you see Jin and he's like, Tequila did it.
He just gets a chill.
Like a single blade of grass.
Yes.
Like flutters.
Cross. Yeah. And he's
Brandy's like standing on one leg and like a ladybug lands on her shoulder. She's like, good job, Tequila. Like, and then, you know, they all just show up at the same place and they all just knew that they're all done at the same time.
So it's like they all go off on these deep personal metaphysical journeys as they're struggling to master their part of the heist. And then they each come to like a sort of like epiphany moment, right? And then you do one by one, they all return to the spot. And then it's like, okay, what? That is a very silly idea, I can tell.
You do, they all. Okay, so sure, if you're going to follow these three, all have this super specific thing we have to do, because cognacs and whiskeys are pretty simple. Whiskeys just needs to not die, and cognac needs to save him. They all leave, and you're doing this, like, yes, this crazy, you know, martial arts, like, montage with all three of them are learning some crazy, you know, 36 chamber style shit. And then they all like meet up and they're like, you can, like, they all know they completed it, and they walk like, let's return to whiskey and cognac. As they're walking, they all of a sudden, there's like, it's like a house and like a white picket fence and like three kids are running and they're like, what? And they're like, and they say like, oh, you've come back. It's been 6,000 years. We thought you had just given up. We've just grown happy here. And they just like, they've just settled down and they've forgotten everything that's going to happen. It's like, oh, yeah, first 3,000 years we learned it, but she was a fast learner and there was kind of nothing else. And then, you know, we started talking and we realized we had a lot more in common. And then we just thought, like, what was the point of any of this? And we just started reading and thinking and we built a house together. So, and
did you say they have kids?
Yeah, they have kids. It's like, dude, whiskey, Kanye, we need you. We still need you. And they go, oh, shit, you're right. All right, kids, we'll be back in a couple thousand years. We've got to help out our friends. Like, leave. Anyways,
I suppose they could go die and then come back to purgatory to find their family later after they've lived their life on Earth.
Whiskey, when they come back out to his action scene, they're like, yeah, we did it. And then Whiskey and Cognac look at each other like, wait, what? Who takes care of our kids? And then it cuts to Shakespeare and be like, who wants Cheerios? And now Shakespeare is a single dad in limbo with these kids.
And our second movie starts at the 100.
Anyways, okay, no, we don't need that.
They definitely come out of it and then they're like, hey, I want to see other people. You good with that? Like, yeah, I'm good with that. Like, they're just like totally done with each other after 1,000 years together.
So he's like, yeah, I'm good with that. He just starts crying just instantly. He's like, yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay.
He's like, yeah, we've been together for 5,000 years. I'm good.
I do love them coming back and Whiskey and Cognac have a white picket fence. I love that the two of them find love.
They don't need kids.
Like,
they don't need kids.
I'm kind of intrigued by the metaphysical idea of them having purgatory children. And then, like, both of them went to the kids' age? Because clearly they're
it's
not
so
aging.
Weird, dude.
Yeah, maybe it's...
No, they don't need kids. It's just, there's a fence and they've just forgotten. They're like, oh, tequila, gin, our old friends. It's been... How long has it been? Like, what have you guys been doing? It's like, it's been a long journey. Let's tell you. No, this is a completely, we don't need it. This is a complete detour.
Okay. So, all right. That was very funny though. So to get back to like the kind of the movements of this thing. So we start our montage. They're figuring out the plan, right? So, yeah. And again, like, I like the idea that it's each one of them has a thing to do, right?
First problem, Whiskey.
Yeah.
We need somebody
I don't think you need to do that like first. I think you can do there talking about the plan. Mm-hmm. And he's like, all right, you were here. You were here. You were here. Oh, shit. Whiskey. Fuck. Like, you can do it as part of the as they're figuring out all of the stuff that everyone is going to do. One of the things that they're going to do is Cognac is going
to. It's a matter of figuring out what the things are for each of them. Right. Like, is it a physical feat? Does someone need to distract? If it's like they conclude. Right. Like, to me, in my head right away, it's just like conclusions are like, oh shit, like tequila, you're gonna get shot. He's like, all right, well, I need to spend my time learning how to deflect the bullet and just use it so that it's only glancing. So he's like practicing that. Or, you know,
we got to come up with what the problem is, right? Because then you would do, there are three normal solutions that they're trying, and they feel like if they get it perfect, it'll work, but it'll never work, right? Again, it's like, Brandy, you're going to grab the scalpel next to you and throw it at one of the guys, right? And like, the real thing is like, no, Brandy, you need to bounce it off of all three guys. You need to kill three guys with one thing. Like, you know, Jin, you need to like, you know.
Oh, it's, you know,
like,
what it is actually, it needs to hit a certain part of his brain. Like through an eye so that he pulls the trigger causing a certain thing, right? Like it's that.
Oh,
level
something like that.
Like the only thing you're showing cinematically is like the first 4 seconds of this fight where they're like killing the people that you just see. And then when they actually go to Earth and then you see them, like they kill those four guys, but then it just turns into the Matrix like 100-man brawl and just endless guys just keep coming. But it's still just as badass and they just keep killing them. And when it's over, they're like, man. That worked out exactly like we had planned it. Like, oh yeah, of course they had 10,000 years. Of course they could have killed 100 of her men.
So let's think about the situation. Let's figure out what we want each of them to do, right?
Yeah.
Because again, that's also going to be Jin's solution that he comes up with is going to be that he has to die for everyone else, right?
No, to me, it is like the way you do that is you set up that's the possibility at a certain point. It's like, well, but you know, it's like, no, nobody gets lost. But so you float it and then some contingency that they didn't plan for happens when they're out there. And then in that moment, Jin is like, I know what I have to do.
Have everybody have one thing. I mean, that's a good way of showing it, but it does feel like you're essentially, bear with me. It feels like you're like moving through it. And like, you're like, are you sure you can move that fast? It's like, we got to train. Like, you know, you're gonna have to roll off this gurney in half a second and hit the ground and be able to pop up. And they keep going. And like, we're almost there. There's still that one guy left. And then it's like, Jin, you're going to have to, you know, shoot him without looking from behind. Are you gonna be able to get that? And they keep like figuring out. And I think when you get to that final moment, they're like, Jin, can you do that? He's like, perfect. I got it. Like, it feels like Jin doesn't tell them.
Yeah.
The audience can't know either. Like, we think they got it. And you see this like look on his face and it feels like relief. And he's like, yeah, this will be fine. I'll be able to get this last guy. And you're like, okay, it's figured out. Like, we got it.
No, I'm not saying that he would reveal it here. I definitely think you would play it as a surprise. To your point, Freddie, I feel like I actually like it more if Jin knows going in that he's going to die.
Sure.
Yes.
Sure.
God, this is weird to visualize. This is like such a
It's always hard to write action thing and write action thing that's like this.
This like weirdly specific. And again, that's kind of why I'm trying to hang like specific things for each of the people to just kind of like, you'd be like, put a button in it, right? So in terms of the scene, right, the four of them are all laying on cots next to each other, right? And Whiskey is like on the ground past the guys. Like, if you think about it, right? Because they shot Whiskey and now they're coming into the room. So Whiskey is also between them and the people in the, you know, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the staging of it, in terms of what they do, like, so they're all going to get up. They got, everyone else has their guns. They're, you know.
They work backwards. Like, here could be how I could see Jin gets away with tricking them all at a certain point. he's like, maybe the final move is he like kicks like a metal pan, you know, where you put like scalpels on. Mm-hmm. He like MI2 kicks it up into the air as a bullet is like heading for his head, and then it stops it. Right. Which like a normal Trey wouldn't. And he realizes that like this whole thing comes down to somebody's going to shoot him in the back of the head. He's going to stop the bullet, and then Tequila is going to shoot that guy. But what he does is when they're training, I don't know why they have bedpans, but just assuming that we get them, they have, it's like he's made one that's double thick. That's the one that they practice with. And he knows that like this one stops a bullet. But when he's actually going to do it on Earth, he's going to kick that thing up and the bullet's going to go right through it and shoot him and like hit him. It's like something like that. Like he knows.
Feels a little esoteric. It feels like he wants.
It's also, it's not something that Jin realizes at the beginning of this. You know what I mean? Jin
that's
doesn't.
True, that's true. That's true.
I think this is the epiphany he comes to. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it's like he wants to do this and get out alive. You know, that's the whole point, right? But then essentially it is his love for his crew, right? It is his love for, again, it's like Sai Shen was right. To live your full life in 10 seconds is the goal.
Because the final moment is going to be like they've done all his training. They've found a way to essentially take down 19 guys out of 20. And they're like, no matter what we do, it's like, right, you need to set up like a simple puzzle, like, because we don't also want to reveal the action scene before you see it.
Exactly.
So you're not
going to
see it.
Yeah,
you're going to have that cut forward moment like 10,000 years later. They're like, no matter what we do, that guy in the back corner, double machine guns, always has a shot, like no matter what we do. And you understand that they figured all this stuff out other than this like one problem. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're getting close to giving up. And then Jin is like looking at it. And then that's when he realizes there is a solution to it. But the only one that
it
he can think
him
of
going out.
Yeah, it involves him going like, yeah, getting taken out.
Yeah. I'm trying to think because I don't know if you want to make it like all about this one thing. Because then does Jin just tell them that he knows what he's doing and then they believe him?
That's why I was trying to come up with some way that he bluffs them. Like he comes up with a solution.
Yeah, I agree. I want them to all think they've got it.
It'd be like, I'm going to do this. It's like, I got it. Like, I'll fucking deflect this thing. And then Tequila's like, okay, can you do that? And like Tequila pulls a gun out and shoots. And then like he like stomps on the ground. The thing blocks up and blocks the bullet. And they look like, oh, right. It looks like we got ourselves a plan. And you're like, oh, he solved it. And then in the action scenes, like that's not how it's actually going to work. Like Jin was lying, like Jin like knew that what he's saying is going to work's not actually going to work.
So somehow. Yeah, it seems a little fiddly. I'm trying to think. In theory, I like that, though, that he's gonna be like, I learned how to catch a bullet. That could be cool. Right. And then you do, it was just a trick. Like he didn't learn how to catch a bullet. He figured out how to trick Tequila into thinking he could catch a bullet.
Yes, that's essentially what I was trying to get to, something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, I mean, you could just make it that. Do you know what I mean?
The only thing with
no
catching
one's gonna believe that a bullet is gonna get deflected by a bedpan. Like, do you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
that's the problem I have with catching the bullet. It's like, I'm like, well, he's not gonna catch it. And like, are we gonna see him catch the bullet in heaven, I guess, a few times?
That would be the point, would be that it would be like Tequila's like all right, Hot Shot, show me. And then he does it, and you think that he caught the bullet, but it was just like an illusion or something like that. I don't know. Maybe
no,
not.
We can find the perfect thing for it. It's one of those things that you find the thing that, like, I think we're just on different ends of what's believable. I'm like, I would,
because catch a bullet's tough because
I don't track that. Whereas, like, I definitely track, like, I'm going to do something, and he bluffs him. And
here's the only tricky thing about this is then I feel like in the next action scene, the only question in the audience's mind is going to be, okay, is Jin going to do the thing? Right? Like, getting it to this level of, like, we know what they're all doing and they're all going to be able to do it. But, you know, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, that's also why I'm not sure we want to go too granular with, like, unless we have like a real thematic reason, as fun as it is for they each have this, like, it feels like it could almost be like heist, like where they're like, you know, they're stepping through this like chalkboard layout and they're like all figuring it out and whatnot. I guess they, you know, you give them all one thing that they're going to have to figure out how to do. Like, yes, he's going to have to jump, you know, from this gurney to the next gurney, can even, you know, leap that high or whatever it is, or can you do this? And
it's tough because it's like, what is the stumbling block that they hit? And then like, how do you, like, what is the actual arc of the scene is tough. You essentially present a problem, right? Like, oh, this isn't working. And then like, is it just they just train harder, or is it like they have to think of something different? And then like, how do you go into the actual heist? What's weird is that it's like, it's kind of a heist, but it's also kind of like a sports movie montage where you're just seeing someone get better and better at something. Just to throw shit at the wall for a second, like, what are some things that they would be doing in this action scene, right? They've got guys coming towards them, right? So, like, one person could be trying to put up cover. Someone else could be, again, grabbing and throwing something. You could do, someone's got to, like, you know, make it to a wall to turn the lights out.
It would be like throwing something to hit the lights so that they're all blind. They have to do all their moves in the dark, first and foremost, which is, like, already kind of cool. Maybe not for a movie, but in my head, it's like there's moves like that. There's precision throws in the same way someone's like, you know, practicing throwing like something and like getting it perfectly. It's like, you need to throw something to jam this guy's gun. So you need to throw this object into the barrel, like of this person across the room. So you need to perfectly be able to throw a scalpel into a gun.
I like jamming a gun by throwing something like a scalpel or something into it. That's interesting.
I was gonna say, no, that's all cool. I think to what you were getting at, Will, like, I'm not concerned with, I mean, obviously we have to do it right here, but like,
well, you gotta three come cool up with things.
Yeah. But well, I think the bigger issue that you're getting at is what is, especially since the audience doesn't know that Jin is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
He has this speech where like he has the emotional plea where it's essentially like, we don't have to be bad people. We can come together and let's do this. If there's no more emotional arc, then that's fine. Then like we don't need like a big thing. It should just be, this is the equivalent of the astronauts like walking, you know, to the shuttle. Like this is just like a badass montage and the music's pumping.
I think I know. They try it at first and they're trying to do it in a normal way. And at the end of it, they tally each other up and they look and they're like, who's shot? I don't know where the extra people are coming from or whatever, but like, or maybe they're just like in the montage, they've clearly roped in other people over the years to be like the stand-ins, but they all check. They're like, are we all hit? Anybody hit? And then it's like, every time they're like, shit doesn't work. Like, look, you're both of you are hit, like, or whatever. So it's like, okay. So they're checking their bodies to see if they're shot. The final estimation of it is a coordinated chain reaction effect. Like someone needs to throw the thing to hit them and jam a gun, but at the same time that person needs to be kicked from another angle and they need to be hit with the head so that it turns over and they shoot in this direction, which causes XYZ, the whole Rube Goldberg-esque domino effect, which allows them to take out the entire room. And they finally get all that figured out, and then Jin realizes that like there's one guy left, and so every time they do that rehearsal, he steps in front of that guy and he's shot. And when they say like, hey, everyone hit, Jin just lies and he says, I'm all good, right? But then it's like, oh, he knows that in order for all of this to work, he needs to step in front of this one guy.
No, I really like that. Ignoring how they get the bullets, like the cleanest version of that is like they all run to Jin and he's like, Jin, what happened? And then you do that quick flashback and it's like in purgatory, he always got shot. He always hid that he got shot in the side. Yes. Because it was the only way he could figure it out after this moment.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I was getting more to what is the end catharsis with the brother? Like, I know we have this thing with like the afterlife, but like, why does he? I forget. Didn't we have like a thing where like maybe they were like, we need to come back because like Miss Wonderful is going to do something to
the brother? Lost that. Right now it's
we lost that.
So basically what we have is that all he wants more or less is to see his brother again, right? He has realized his love of family and he is because you know it's like he's learned the lesson from his brother, so he wants to go live his life and be a good guy.
Yeah.
Then the riddle here is that the only way to live your life and be a good guy in this scene is to die for your friends. So I like what Freddie's getting at, because then what you can do is also you can be very oblique about what it is that they're doing in the heist.
Yes.
Right. Like because essentially you would be seeing like the end result of these attempts to do it. Right. And every time someone, and it doesn't always have to be Jin either. Right.
Yeah,
it's always
exactly.
It's like Whiskey got shot. You know, this person died. And they're like, the whole thing is, no, we're not going to do this until we all get through together. Right.
There's one where they finally do it. They're like, yeah, we did. And they all high five. And the Whiskey's like, guys, and they turn and like, Cognac's been shot like 40 times, like every straight bullet like hit her while she was trying to help Whiskey out.
Okay, so then essentially what you have there is that you would have the sort of long dark night of the soul moment that essentially you're kind of faking the audience out with Jin, and Jin goes off to reflect because like they've been doing this for
like, guys, take five, just take five, like five what, 500 years, okay,
yeah,
okay.
Just take 500 or whatever, right? So then you would do essentially that Jin is the one who realizes, you know, no matter how we're going to do this, one person's always going to die. But then he comes back and he's like, I've got it, you know, like, and essentially he does have it, and they run through it. It's like, boom, boom, is anyone hit? And Jin goes, no, like they all say no. And they're like, holy shit, we can do it. And then you would do, they all jump into the portal together.
Yes.
Jin's bullet wound can be one where he knows that he has X amount of time. So then it's like, go get my brother. I need to talk to him before I go, you know? Like,
no, I think the tragedy
is that he never sees him again.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, he sees, right? He gets the reincarnation in his brother's garden. He sacrifices that last thing that he wanted, which is, you know, obviously something that's personal, but it's obviously, you know, not selfish in the negative sense, just like it is his own desire, but he's putting everybody else's desire over his ultimately, because one person in this group is going to not see their brother equivalent, right? One person here is going to lose and not make it, and he decides that's going to be him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's actually just the arc of the scene, is this long dark night of the soul moment, is how do you dramatize that?
Okay, so I think it's, again, you know, that we've been Buddhist then Taoist then Buddhist then Taoist. I think it's, again, the only image that comes to mind is the Buddha sitting under the Bodhi tree, which was just the story of his enlightenment, which was that he, at the point of his life, you know, he had tried being an ascetic. He, you know, had left this princely life of pleasure and stuff like that. He was trying to figure out, you know, the meaning of life, basically. And he meditated under this tree. And he's like, I'm not getting up until I figure it out. And that's where he had the vision of the Eightfold Noble Path and, you know, the Four Noble Truths and all that stuff. So it is like this very iconic image. But it seems to me that it's like Jin is trying to figure this out in his mind. Right. And he is deep in meditation, and like it feels like there would be, like, if you were going to play one last beat with the brother, it feels like that's where I would play it. It's like the classic, he throws the stone and he sees his brother's reflection in the water or something like that. It would be like, it's some sort of like a poetic kind of expression of that idea, you know. It would be basically like he thinks so hard and so deep and so long about this that he loses his sense of self. Like in a Buddhist sense, like it's like the whole point is like you become in touch with like what's called the objective reality, right? So like you've lost your sort of like egoistic self, I, me, and mine self preoccupation, and he feels connected to whiskey and to cognac and to tequila. Like he feels connected to the whole universe here, right? So it's like for him, it is now he is able to give up his body for them.
No, I like that. I just think it, so my thought is, I just think you need something a little more, I guess, grounded in what, like, what the story's been with them in terms of, let me put it this way. I think that's what it is. I think the way you can kind of ground that is even his desire to see his brother, again, not selfish in a negative sense. It's just like, there's also an element of like, he wants a chance to see him again because he knows he did his family wrong, right? Like, he knows he's died as a criminal and his brother's hospital is gone and his mom's going to know that he was a criminal. And, you know, he's caused a lot of trauma to his family. Mm-hmm. He was not a good family member.
Yeah.
I think what he's going to realize is he's going to have to let go of that fact. Like, it happened. Like, he did it. Like, he died. That is a sad thing. But he has a family here with him who's alive now that he's not going to do the same thing to them. Like, I think, like, moving on, like, it's like I screwed up one family. I'm not going to screw up another sort of thing. Like, I'm not going to let you guys down while I have you here just because I'm still trying to make up for the sins I did before. Like, I am gonna have to live with those mistakes for the rest of my life, you know, whatever that is. Like, that's why I'm gonna go to hell, you know. I'm gonna pay for what I've done.
Yes.
But I'm not gonna make another mistake with you guys, is essentially what his thought is.
How do you express that in a way that then doesn't tip the hand? You need the audience to get it and then misunderstand it so that we can fake them out.
Yeah, because I feel like you actually get that line with like Tequila's like, what did you do, you know?
Exactly.
And he's like, when it was sad to go, and he's like, but your brother, your family. He's like, tell him I love them, but I wasn't gonna let down my other family, you know, like that sort of thing. Like, oh shit. So yes, yeah, like, what's his, which maybe he can be more like obtuse with it, like you do the Buddha,
you know,
and it's like
probably he thinks about what his brother would do. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I think that's probably what he would tell Tequila. He's like, what about your brother? It's like, I did what he would do or something like that. I don't know. Maybe it's his brother's opened his eyes with the act of forgiveness, right? So he is his Yoda now, you know, like, and he can't literally be with his brother. But like, that's why I think the vision or whatever it is that uncorks it is going to have to do with his brother somehow.
I like the like looking into the pond and seeing his brother.
Oh, you know what's infuriating?
What's that?
Is it feels like, shit, here's what we're missing. Here's what we're missing. Damn it, damn it, damn it, damn it. Well, this is like a draft two thing. I would do a scene where the brother taught him how to meditate, right? And like you would do a scene where like earlier in the movie and he doesn't get it, right? And then you would do, he, you know, he's angry pacing around this lake and then he throws this rock and he skips and he sees his brother and he thinks back to that moment. And now he meditates and he meditates and meditates and meditates. And then he opens his eyes and he's like, holy shit, I've got it. You know, and we're doing abstract flashes of the team and, you know, like his memories and all of this stuff. Then he'd be like, his eyes open. He's like, I know what to do. And then you would do it like that.
You could either do that. The other thing I thought you were going to say is like, is there a way that the final moment is he's not going to fight like his brother didn't. And that's like the surprise turn that nobody would expect in like the middle of this firefight or something. I don't know.
Oh, you mean like everyone, gets up and does a rip-roaring gunfight, but he's just walking like straight up to Miss Wonderful and he gives her a flower and then she shoots him. But like he knew that this would distract her. So she would be the one who's not shooting in the scene and then they'd be able to do it.
Something like that. Though I guess again, same thing. Like once it starts, you're like, what's Jin doing? I think what you said was right. Cause I think it's going, at least for this draft, I think it's going to be something in this moment. And the way you fake out the audience is not so much faking it out as like he learns a lesson. Like if it's just as simple as they can't quite figure it out and it's going to be like he meditates and it's like, you know, he's looking into the lake and he sees his brother's face and, you know, it's like his brother's like, you can't fix everything or you can't whatever the lesson is. And, you know, Jin would like weep and like tears fall into the and wipes away his brother's face and he drops to the ground. And, you know, then you see him start meditating and then you cut to 500 years later and he comes to them. He's like, we need to let go of ourselves. And then like he comes up with a new strategy. Like, okay, like, yeah, he had like a formative experience that let him get past this hang up of trying to figure out this fight scene or whatever. And then you realize like what he really learned was like, what would his brother do? His brother would put everybody else ahead of himself. Yeah. Right.
That sort of thing. I like that a lot. Here's what we could do. Movies do this occasionally where you can do a flashback to a scene that you didn't see. You know, like,
yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Again, the flow of this is like they're like, OK, we got to figure this out. We're going to have to kill 6 guys, save Whiskey's life, you know, restart his heart, do this, do that, do the other. Right. And like that's essentially you set up the stakes. It's like, all right, what if we try this? Boom, boom. Didn't work. And then you do like again, it's somebody's always getting shot. And then you would do they're all getting frustrated. Like we've been at this for 100,000 years. Like we're never going to do it. This is so fucking stupid. It's like, all right, everybody just take 500. Just take 500 years. Go off and think and come back with some fresh ideas, right? And then so everyone storms off and they're all mad at each other. You know, we followed Jin and he's pacing and he's, you know, thinking and he's trying to figure it out. And then, yeah, he throws the rock into the water and then he sees the reflection of his brother and it makes him think of this moment. And then we cut to like this flashback and it's this simple moment between the two of them where his brother says something very wise, which we then have to write, which is his brother says something very wise about how, you know, whenever he's, you know, it's like that you're thinking too much, you know, like you got to just sit and, you know, become one with the universe or whatever. He's like, all right, you. And then you just do. He chuckles. And he's like, you know, wife said, he's like, all right, you son of a bitch. Like, I'll try. And he sits down. He's like, you know, and he's thinking. Right. And then you do your meditation time lapse. Right. And he meditates for 10 zillion years like Doctor Strange at the end of Infinity War, which I just realized he just sees infinity. That oh my, he gets the idea from watching Infinity War and Endgame in theaters. And then it's at the moment that Tony Stark dies, his eyes shoot open. No, but anyway, so he comes up with his epiphany. He comes back to the group and then he's like, I know what to do. Right?
Yeah, I guess that works too. That's fine. I was going to say, I thought you were going to say that you don't necessarily have to know what his brother or what this like vision is. Like you get like half of it and then you go to it and then the flashback is when he's dying with tequila, you see like the lesson he learned, but I don't know if that's as good.
Oh, like that's the last thing he
like you do like the equivalent again, same thing, like you have to come up with whatever the wise thing is, but like if he's pouting and he finds some strange mirror lake and he's looking into himself and he sees his brother and you know he like gets the last, he's like, I don't know what to do, like I'm gonna fail this too, like, you know, now I know that I care about you guys but I'm not even gonna make it back, like it's screwed up, like, you know, like what, like, and then you know he's like, what would you do? And then he sees him staring and he like smiles or something, and then you know, then you do the whole action scene and then when you come back he's like, I asked my brother what he would do and you know what he said. You know, then you see like what was said back then or whatever.
So I'm are you saying that is this like an imagined scene with the brother, is that what you're saying, like he, like this is like an imaginary conversation he had with him? I don't quite.
Oh yeah, I was thinking you could do that. He's just like, you know, you're in like limbo, you could do some sort
it's
of
a
like
figment
spiritual
of his imagination. Yeah,
yeah, where he's talking to his brother or whatever. That way you can kind of get the scene with his brother even.
But I was going to say, you could also do, like, if you wanted to do it that way, like, we get an impressionistic picture of this memory he has of his brother. And then, you know, like, his mm-hmm. brother meditating and him watching him. And then, you know, then we kind of flash out of it and he kind of chuckles and sits down. He's like, all right, I'll try it your way. And
I'll
then
give
he
it a
sits
shot.
And he's breathing, right? And then you do like your trippy cosmic thing. And then you could do that then when he's dying later, like you see, you flash back to that. But I don't know why you would at that point. I guess he doesn't really need to see anything other than remember his brother meditating, right? Like it doesn't.
Yeah.
I'm assuming Taoists.
Yeah. And
meditate,
then he's coming
right?
to. And it's so internal in that moment. The explicit act is meditation. You really can't dramatize what's going on in your head during
that. Tell
it's
that
tough.
To fucking you know, Darren Aronofsky with his fucking shit in Noah. Like, you well, go way- crazy cosmic.
I mean, the
people's way- fucking just like the circle at the middle of your head and you zoom in and now it's the whole universe.
I think to Freddie's point, it's or I think what you're getting at more is that, like, it is dramatized because it's self-explanatory.
Yes, it
in
is.
Terms of, like, when he
yes.
when you do this action scene and he gets shot, like, you understand what he's done, and then you have this final moment with him and his crew where he's like, live a good life, you guys.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't gonna let you down. It's like, yeah, you get what he did. Like, he put himself, like, that's the way it's yeah. dramatized. So it's like, how much do you need here, and like, what do we want here? And we even get the final catharsis.
I think you can yeah. do, he sees, it is this vision of his brother meditating. I think that's all you need. I don't think we need a whole hey, bro, what are you doing? Well, I'm meditating. That's where you sit down and like you know, you try not to think thoughts. He's like, but my butt's falling asleep. Like, I don't need any of that crap. He sees his brother meditating. He gives a sage nod and then he sits down in the position, right? And it's like, I'm going to do what he did. I'm going to try to clear my mind to think, you know? And then we see this cosmic tableau, more or less, as he becomes one with the universe, and then he opens his eyes and the audience is like, oh, this is really silly. Like, you know, he's, because again, we see all the stuff he's thinking about, like the gunfight and all the people and all of the memory. It's just this crazy thing, and he opens his eyes and, you know, he's like, I know what I have to do. Or even like, he opens his eyes and he sees his brother in front of him, and his brother says, you know what you have to do, or something. I don't know, whatever, you know, like, we do one of those.
Yeah, so you get this expressionistic, like, glimpses of his childhood. You get fast forwards of the movie, and like those quick flashes turn into essentially flashes of this action scene, and all of a sudden you know, the last shot he sees is like Jin. Oh, it's perfect. You do that thing where in the moment it feels like Jin gets the final successful shot.
Yeah,
right. It's an image that like could go either way, and he's like, and his eyes open wide, and then he comes back, he's like, guys, I got it. You don't see the full action scene, you just, like, you know, you cut to, you know, a single dummy falling over and they're all standing there with all their guns out. It's like, holy shit, does this work? And they're like, Jin, you genius. And, you know, then they all like slap each other's like, let's go do it, you know, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's it. Yes.
All right. Well, this is going to be a tricky one to write, I can tell. But I feel like that's
write all that.
That's more or less the scene. Like, I like the flow of that. Like, you know, and I feel like it's, you know, I like that it gets to such a weird cosmic kind of cerebral, you know, very spiritual place.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think is very cool. And yeah, and then he opens his eyes and he jumps out. Yeah, and you can do the fun stuff like when he comes back, and they've all been back for a while, right? And he's the last one to return or something like that. Like, we thought you were never coming back, man. Like, the like, we were about to leave without you. He's like, I've got it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's cool. Okay, yeah.
I feel like the last scene, there's like the coda in the garden, but it's like, it'll be the action scene and then his like goodbye to his friends.
Yeah, that's
dying.
Essentially, that'll be, oh my God, that'll be next week.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
We're getting close to the end.
We're getting there.
Light at the end of the tunnel with this
thing.
All
right, well, that's feeling good. I feel like we can get that up on the page and see what looks like.
We're going to take a break here, let Matt catch up on some Z's, and when we come back...
No, are you kidding? Now I'm all pumped up. Now I got to go outside and, like, run or something. I'm all ready to throw down. Got to find a fight.
Oh, boy.
Go find somebody. Freddie, get over here. Freddie, get over here and say something insulting.
While I get my ass handed to me by Matt, you all take a break, listen to some ads, okay. And we'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Match Game. Our contestants, Anike and James, from the hit podcast Minority Corner.
Hey.
I'll ask you questions in a rapid-fire round. Favorite character on a Shonda Rhimes show?
Olivia Pope.
Ooh, I said Olivia Pope's wig.
Oh, so close. How do you feel about Disney?
They need to pay reparations to black people because Mickey Mouse was based off of blackface.
I said get rid of the racist rides, Jungle Cruise, Splash Mountain.
Who are you voting for in the primary?
It's too damn early.
I'm just getting to know these fools.
Ooh, no dice. What celebrity do you side-eye the most?
Kevin Hart. Can we get a real apology for your homophobia?
Justin Timberlake.
Nipplegate.
Favorite superhero movie?
Black Panther. Wakanda forever.
Congratulations, but you still lose.
Now I'm side-eyeing you.
Catch Anike and James, the Wonder Twins of podcasts, on Minority Corner every Friday at Maximum Fun.
Exterior, hills, day. Our gang huddles over a makeshift map in the grass. Jin places stone markers to figure out the layout of the safe house and the people inside it back on Earth.
So we're here, 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 and here. Miss Wonderful and her boys are coming through the door here.
Tequila winces at the large number of stones representing Miss Wonderful and her crew. A dozen killers with machine guns versus the five of us with nothing.
Four of us.
Huh? He looks up and immediately shields his eyes from the blinding light bouncing off of Whiskey's bare chest. The sun glares bright on his pale, spindly body as he examines the trajectory of the two bullet holes poking in the front and back of his shirt.
I got shot, remember? judging by these holes in my shirt, I'd say she missed my aorta, but I'm going to be bleeding like crazy. If somebody doesn't help stabilize the wound, I'm toast.
Jin nods to the map.
Cognac, you're closest to him.
Brandy points to a stone in the middle of the map.
Oh, man. If I can get to my shotgun, I can cover her.
Tequila nods along. He points to another rock in the corner. Ain't there a tray of scalpels right next to us? We could use them as throwing knives.
Oh, don't forget the syringes. Jin, you're right next to him.
If I get in close, take one down, grab their gun.
We just might have a shot.
With enough practice.
Brandy scoffs.
How the hell are we gonna practice? We don't even have guns up here, much less people to shoot at us with them.
You want guns? They look up. Our camera pushes in all cool and badass on Shakespeare, who's leaning up against the wrecked van. I can get you guns. Cut to exterior Trash Mountain Day. A colossal mountain of garbage stretches high into the sky, its lofty peak hidden behind the clouds above. Our crew stands at the base, awestruck as they gaze up at it. William Shakespeare smiles with pride. Welcome to Mount Trashmore. All the junk that people in heaven don't want or that the authorities confiscate gets chucked over the wall and winds up here. A lot of Funko Pops. Sure enough, like every fourth piece of garbage in this mountain is some kind of Funko Pop. The gang winces, reeling from the Trash Mountain's nauseating smell, but Jin smiles brightly.
This is great. We'll recreate the entire safe house down to the smallest detail.
He turns to Shakespeare.
Mr. Shakespeare, we're gonna need some actors to be the bad guys. You think you could get a troop of 12 together?
What, like a play? I don't know. Am I really ready for this? He picks up a Deadpool Funko Pop and stares at it with a pondering gaze. To help or not to help? That is the question. Suddenly he smiles. Hey, that's a pretty good line. All right, I'm in.
Hell yeah.
Jin turns to his cohorts with an enthusiastic grin. They respond with skeptical, uneasy frowns.
What? What's wrong?
Cognac scowls.
I'm wearing Gucci, dude. I am not going in there. Besides, man, how long is this gonna take?
We've got all the time we need. That's the whole point. But don't worry. I'm sure it'll be ready before you know it.
Cut to black. Title slam. 10 years later. Interior makeshift safe house day. Somehow the crew has assembled a janky facsimile of their safe house out of rusted metal, old wood, and melted down Funkos. Gin, tequila, brandy, and cognac lie on soiled twin mattresses propped up by car tires. Our crew looks haggard and worn, but their eyes are full of determined energy. William Shakespeare flutters through the room like a giddy stage manager on opening night. Okay, places, places, everyone! He steps up to Whiskey, standing nervously by the door. Whiskey, are you centered? Whiskey nods.
Let's do it.
Great. Billy the Kid, are you centered? He turns to Billy the Kid, standing right next to Whiskey with a gun pointed at his chest. A sign pinned to his cowboy hat reads, Miss Wonderful.
Well, we were born ready, Mr. Shakespeare. Ain't that right, boys?
Billy the Kid's outlaw posse stands behind him, their shirts off, and give a rowdy cheer. Shakespeare claps his hands and hurries over to a director's chair in the corner. Okay then, let's get this show on the road. And action! At the clap of his hands, the room erupts into a gunfight. Whiskey takes a bullet to the chest and flops onto the ground. Cognac lunges towards him. Brandy dives for her shotgun. Tequila snatches the scalpel. Gin goes for the syringes. As all five of them leap into action, blam, 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 blam! They're lit up instantly by a hail of gunfire from the outlaw posse. Our crew groans in pain on the ground. Shakespeare frowns. Stop, 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 stop. Jin sits up from the ground, wincing. Bullets pop out of their bullet holes all over his chest as his body reheals itself.
Did anyone not get shot?
Me. Tequila sits up, revealing a face full of scalpels. I fell on the scalpels. All right, let's reset and try again. Shakespeare claps once and everyone hobbles back to their places. Billy the Kid helps Whiskey off the ground.
Hey, was that okay?
Oh, that was great. You're a natural.
Ah, shucks. Thanks, partner.
And action! Blam! Billy the Kid shoots Whiskey again, and the action scene starts all over. A mini montage kicks off as the gang runs through their battle over and over and over again. Each time an increasingly bored Shakespeare calls action, an increasingly irritated Billy the Kid shoots Whiskey, and our thoroughly dead-eyed gang leap into motion, trying increasingly bold maneuvers to turn the tables on their attackers. Through the endless practice, their motions take on an impressive, if rote, precision and fluidity. But no matter how gracefully Brandy leaps for her shotgun, no matter how nimbly Cognac weaves a path to Whiskey's side, no matter how deadly precise Tequila and Gin are with their scalpels and syringes, every time the fight ends with them all blasted to pieces. As the montage continues, our edits get faster and faster, crescendoing into a blur of mindless action violence. Just when it seems like it can't go any faster, we cut to black. Super title. 200 years later. Interior makeshift safe house. Day. Boom! Jin dives onto the ground with a syringe between his teeth and a smoking machine gun in his arms. Billy the Kid falls to his knees, a bullet hole in his chest. William Shakespeare nearly falls out of his chair with excitement. And scene! Jin looks up, giddy with hope. Around him, the goons all lie on the ground. One by one, the rest of the crew gets up and looks themselves over.
Did we? Is anyone hit?
They all shake their heads no. A wave of exhilaration washes over them. We did it. We did it! A cheer of joy breaks out in the room. Cognac and brandy hug. Billy the Kid high-fives tequila. Gin shakes Shakespeare's hand. Whiskey does a giddy victory dance in the middle of the room. Plink, plink, plink. The sound of bullets dropping to the floor gets everyone's attention. They all turn to the source of the sound. It's Whiskey. As he dances and spins, oblivious, everyone else sees that the back of his shirt is riddled with holes. Bullets pop out of his back like dozens of tiny hailstones. Well, back to one, people. Brandy topples over a table and pounds the ground.
Ah, I can't do this anymore!
She turns to Whiskey and snarls.
I say we let him die!
Hey! 4 out of 5. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good score. That's a B-. Well, then I say we let you die! Over my dead body! Duh, that's the idea!
Yeah!
She punches Whiskey and they start brawling on the ground. Jin rushes over and pulls them apart.
Hey! Hey, break it up! No one's gonna die. All for one and one for all, remember?
Cognac sighs.
We've been at this longer than we were alive in the first place. If there were a way to save everyone, we would have found it by now.
We can't give up. We've got to keep trying. Right, Tequila?
Tequila gives a hesitant, weary frown. Maybe we should all take 5.
I don't think 5 minutes is gonna do much.
I wasn't thinking 5 minutes.
5 what then? Days? Years? Decades?
Tequila shakes his head solemnly. A long, haunting silence fills the air. We go our separate ways. We rest. We think. And then we think some more. In 5 centuries, we return to this place. And if we still can't do it, well, he turns to his crew with a swell of emotion. All for one and one for all. We face our deaths together. Another sad beat. Shakespeare, Billy the Kid, and his posse hang their heads in solemn silence. One by one, gin, brandy, cognac, whiskey, and tequila all nod to each other, then turn and walk away. Exterior, purgatory, day. Gin walks, and walks, and walks. He travels far and wide across the rolling green hills. He climbs to the very peak of Mount Trashmore and gazes up at Heaven City, floating like a tiny moon in the sky above. He stands at the cusp of that great beam of light, watching souls float upward. He peers down through the light, his feet right up against the edge of the beam. Amidst the hills, he discovers a small pond and a tree standing next to it. With slow, weary steps, he shuffles up to the pond. He stares at his tired, beaten-down reflection in the water. His reflection glares back at him for a hard, tense beat. Then he screams in rage and attacks his reflection in the pond. Jin thrashes about in the shallow water, throwing punches and furious kicks until exhaustion overwhelms him. He slumps back, thoroughly soaked, panting hard for air. He looks up, and something surprising catches his eye. Sitting underneath the tree is his brother, or at least a vision of him. Freddy, wearing his monk's robes, sits in the lotus position, his eyes shut in quiet meditation. Jin stares, dumbfounded. A tiny smile forms on Freddy's lips. He reaches out and pats the grass next to him. Jin's eyes go wide, and we flash back too. Interior, Lily's apartment, bedroom, day. Young Kyle stands in the doorway, watching a young Freddy sit on the floor in meditation beneath a humble Taoist altar. End flashback. Jin blinks. The vision of Freddy is gone. He gives a wry chuckle.
All right, you pain in the ass. Let's try it your way.
Jin walks to the tree, sits down in an awkward cross-legged position, shuts his eyes, and takes a long, deep breath. Time lapse. The leaves rustle. Jin fidgets and squirms, his movements playing out in jerky, super-fast forward speed as the first years of his meditation zoom by in a blur. At first he can...
Hey, yo, this shit rules, by the way.
Yeah, this is dope.
At first he can barely sit still. He tosses and turns and scratches himself and gets up constantly to shake out his legs. But as time hurtles ever forward, his body begins to settle down until at last he sits beneath the tree, almost perfectly still. We push in close on Jin's face, his eyes shut gently, his breath placid and slow. Then all at once, the rush of speed stops to a standstill. The world hangs nearly frozen around him. Tiny ripples of water inch ever so slowly across the pond. We push closer and closer into Jin's forehead. Through pores, cells, DNA helixes, down to the very atoms themselves. Before us, we behold a vast, endless ocean of interconnected energy. Jin, still sitting in meditation, floats through this endless ocean, its glowing energy flowing within and without him. Familiar forms, painted by trillions of pinpoints of glowing light, rise and fall all around him. Tequila, brandy, cognac, whiskey. Freddy, Graham, and Lily. Miss Wonderful and her goons. Their images shift and swirl and dissolve into each other and into Jin. Not separate, but each merely parts of one luminous singularity. The ocean of energy converges into a single brilliant point, shining in front of Jin. He opens his eyes and sees his own reflection staring back at him in the ball of light. He blinks. Exterior pond day. And he's back in front of the pond, staring down at the water. Tears fill his eyes, tears of beautiful, joyous epiphany. He stands and bows to the water. Interior, makeshift safe house, day. The rest of the crew waits anxiously back in the safe house. Shakespeare, Billy the Kid, and the Outlaws play cards in the corner. Tequila checks his watch and gives a skeptical glance to his cohorts. Then, a creak as the door to the safe house swings open. Jin steps in, a look of righteous determination in his eyes.
I figured it out.
Cautious hope lights in the eyes of his friends. William Shakespeare breaks out in a smile. Let's take it from the top! Interior makeshift safe house, day. A cacophony of gunfire fills the room. At its climactic finale, Jin dives back as Billy the Kid shoots at him, and blam! He shoots Billy square between the eyes. Billy falls. Jin gets up. One by one, the rest of the crew does the same. They look themselves over, not a scratch on them. They exchange joyous glances, then turn to Jin in unison. He nods.
We're ready.
The room cheers in triumph. Jin watches them all hug and celebrate, and a quiet, bittersweet smile forms on his face.
Dope. Man, we're at the end. We're at the end.
The next week, I think, will be the last episode of Heaven Heist.
I think so. And then we'll have to figure out, I mean, also we got to go back to normal story break, but we got to figure out if we're going to, you know, I don't know, do like a notes episode or what, or like, what are we going to do?
We got to figure it out, man.
Story break. No.
Story break. Notes. For the makers of Story Break Nights, come Story Break Notes.
I kind of like that, honestly.
I can really think of no more indulgent a podcast than having guests on to tell us what they thought of our screenplay.
Well, it wouldn't be indulgent if they're all like, yeah, here's all the problems we had with it. And
that's honestly like...
We should do... theoretically, if it wasn't illegal, what would be great, actually, is to just pitch the script as is to major studios and then, like, record the meeting so that the audience can hear the people politely tell us it's too stupid.
Fuck off.
To fuck off. We read it. We're just curious.
We'll get back to you.
We read it. We definitely read it. It was really cool. So what else are you guys working on? What are you guys doing? That's how those meetings go.
Oh, boy.
Heard that many times.
We bullshit talk for about 30 minutes, and then, you never see each other ever again.
And then they say, cool. So they'll validate you on the way out.
Really big fan of you guys. Really nice meeting you. You know, oh, man, weather, right? 405, you guys going up the 405? All right. Well, we're leaving now.
Hey, these turbulent, uncertain times, I would kill for a mind-numbing Hollywood general right now.
Right? Yeah,
great.
Actually, I would. Just to see another human being.
No. No, thank you.
All righty.
No, thank you.
Well, gang, that's Story Break this week. That was like a really fun one to write, I got to say. Like, it was cool getting into all the trippy spiritual stuff.
Yeah, I felt like, I wonder what Freddie was thinking about the visuals of the meditation, but like, I definitely like was seeing it and had some really cool ideas. It was like this whole sequence is very cool.
I was thinking about that and being like, sounds like somebody's taking psychotropics.
Hey, man, this is 100% pure, untainted, unfiltered screenwriting going on. Are there anything other than caffeine and self-loathing powering this machine?
No. Believe me, I can tell. It smells of it.
Wow.
Interesting.
In these turbulent and uncertain times, the one thing I would kill for is a little bit of fan art.
It's too bad you said that because we didn't get any this week.
Oh, no. Well, looks like some random stranger lives another day.
Yep.
Yeah, man. People got a lot of stuff going on, Freddie. But you can check out all our past fan art at twitter.com/RJStoryBreak. There's a bunch of amazing art on there from all you fans. And you can also discuss the show on our Facebook group, bit.ly/StoryBreakFB.
You know what I've decided is the most obnoxious thing I could ever think of? Would be if we ever got Heaven Heist done as either a comic or an animated show. And as executive producers, we'd always go to the artist and he'd always say, all right, let's see how the fan art's going.
Oh no.
Just call their work fan art all the time.
Don't do that. Well, anyway, that's sorry, we're all a little loopy right now. That's Story Break this week, guys. We are part of the Maximum Fun Network.
Head on over to MaximumFun.org for all of your podcasting needs and a whole bunch of other great podcasts. We're but one humble entry in a pantheon of champions. So MaximumFun.org for all your podcasting needs. That's going to do it for us this week. Thank you so much for listening. This podcast is cut by Chad Ellis.
Thanks, Chad.
Thanks, Chad.
My name is Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos.
My name is Matt Arnold. And if you're feeling hopeless and like you can't help humanity right now, pick up Dune Eternal.
Hell yeah, baby.
Take the fight into your own hand.
Take the fight into your own hand.
Save humanity.
Let's fade out the podcast while I'm singing about Doom.
I'm right. Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
And together, we host a podcast called Still Buffering, where we answer questions like,
why should I not fall asleep first at a slumber party?
How do I be fleet? Is it okay to break up with someone using emojis?
And sometimes we talk about butts.
No, we don't. Nope.
Find out the answers to these important questions and many more on Still Buffering, a sister's guide to teens through the ages.
I am a teenager.
And I was too. Butts, 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 butts.
No. Will you change your mind? MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.